Hola.
Hello, this call is being translated.
Abuela, listen to what my phone can do.
Abuela, escucha lo que mi teléfono puede hacer.
Wow, ahora dime sobre tu novia nueva.
Wow, now tell me about this new girlfriend.
Huh?
Tú sabes lo que dije.
You know what I said.
Language is no longer a barrier, thanks to Live Translate with Galaxy AI on Samsung Galaxy S24 Ultra. Learn more at Samsung.com. Samsung account login required. Calls must be made using the native Samsung dialer.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Oh, welcome in. Thursday, February 23rd, the Fantasy Footballers. Mike Wright, Jason Moore, Andy Holloway. The countdown begins.
Oh, or for me.
For you.
I mean, it's all right. I've been counting.
I know, but not publicly.
Yeah, no.
Jason has to be really, really excited if he knew what I was talking about.
Jason. Oh, yeah. No, I'm there.
Jason has the countdown because his countdown is he will no longer be the only person eligible for ARP.
Yeah, no, I'm going to have a best friend here soon.
Yes.
And then we will look down upon you, youngin.
So Mike is...
Get off our lawn.
And I've got a while. Mike is back from Mexico. Yes. You had a good time with
Scooter
your family?
Back in Yeah. I mean, you want to talk about being old man. I was the old man on this trip.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I had neck pain.
Oh yeah,
I had a massive diverticulitis flare up.
Ooh,
both of my feet had matching rubber burns from my flippy flops.
What?
I was just
It's all physical. Falling apart.
Oh yes, I was as old as it could
on
be
on the precipice
of
your 40th birthday.
So my wife was reminding me. She's like, "You're turning 40 and you're falling apart."
Man.
And wow. I could not give a rebuttal because it was ridiculous.
And I was with you. You're kind of the youngest in spirit in many ways.
Sure.
Of the three of us. I am the youngest in age. Not the youngest in spirit.
Mm-mm.
But I mean, we had the Super Bowl festivities. And we ended up, you know, we were with a group from
this
Spotify.
This
dinner, that dinner, this Drake concert at a club late at night, which it's normal at 38 to start your clubbing life, right? Isn't that the...
Yep.
Okay. But, like, you know, we felt pretty old.
Yes, we did.
Well, you two did.
Yes.
I stayed.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Well, this is not a podcast about the worst parts of being an adult. That would be the Spitballers. Welcome into the show. We've got some stuff to talk about. Glad to have Mike back. Deucer's Alley is, it's full.
It's deucing.
It's full. We had the Brooks birthday a couple days ago, too. So birthdays happening around here. Twitter at the FF Ballers if you want to follow us over there. The community is jointhefoot.com if you want an extra episode of the show every week. And don't forget the 2023 Ultimate Draft Kit.
You only have a few days left if you want to get in. March 1st is the deadline to get the Ultimate Draft Kit before the contest is over. You get a chance to be in the Listener League with us next year to play with us. If you think you're going to get the Ultimate Draft Kit, which you do, just do it now in the next few days.
You do think that.
Yeah, you do think that. It is so good. And also, a lot of it is available now if you do any dynasty rankings, startup rankings, all sorts of stuff is in the UDK Plus. So grab it in the next few days. Probably better do it right now. But you've got till March 1st to be eligible to play with the ballers in the Listener League.
Yeah, there's a lot of great stuff up there right now for the Dynasty Pass. That's ultimatedraftkit.com. Quick question of the day as we kick things off. Which second-year player do you see ready to make a big jump in fantasy football? So we had our rookie review show, I think, two episodes ago. Went over players that actually made their contributions in their rookie season. There are some players that have obviously bright futures. Some that really disappointed that you almost didn't even hear their names mentioned throughout the year. David Bell's one of those guys. And so who do you think has the opportunity to make a jump from their rookie season as you go look at the 2023 landscape?
Well, I can jump in here with kind of spoiling some of our news section as well. Robert Woods has been released from the Tennessee Titans. They are left with a total of Treylon Burks at wide receiver. That is basically
Westbrook. Ikhine is still there.
They got Chinakonkwo. And
Ikhine is a free agent.
He's a free agent.
It was mostly a joke.
Let's go, Chig.
Oh man, yeah, Okonkwo.
Yeah, baby.
Okay,
Treylon will not be literally the only wide receiver they have, but he is their basket of talent, and I believe he is a very talented wide receiver.
Never heard that expression in my life. Well, I like it.
And you will not hear it again. So,
You were just trying it out and you didn't like it?
No, I actually loved it, but I want to keep it special. I thought that was its moment.
So, like, but a one-time use level of special?
Yeah, I mean, NFT that moment, and it's going to be worth quite
one
a bit.
One.
So you don't worry about Treylon getting a high draft capital addition in the draft or anything?
Well, they're certainly going to bring someone else in, whether that is in the draft or
to their basket of talent.
Try to trade for someone or on the free agent marketplace. I don't believe that they're in a great position to they desperately need to bring in more wide receiver help, but they've got quite a few holes to fill. They don't have a ton of extra draft capital. This isn't a great free agent class, and the wide receivers in this year's rookie class, I think there are some good ones, but it's not the best class of all time. There's not a bunch of people that scare me. Treylon Burks, when he was on the field and playing more than 50% of snaps, which didn't happen as much as we wanted because of injuries last season, he was really good. He showed me enough flashes to believe in him going forward. I don't think they're going to be able to get out of Ryan Tannehill's contract, and I believe Ryan Tannehill's a fine quarterback to get Treylon the ball. So next year, he should take a step up.
Okay. Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, very talented, just needs to stay on the field. Ironically, that was Robert Woods' time there was marred by injury as well and just inconsistent usage. He was not the same guy. He had been coming off an injury.
Yep.
I'm going to throw out the name Isaiah Pacheco, and I know that I'm going to throw an if in front of it. But I think that there's an opportunity there for Pacheco. We know that the Clyde experiment, while he may be part of the rotation in the future because they do that, like his potential to take over this backfield is gone. That window's closed. Clyde's not going to be the guy, in my opinion. And Pacheco only involved himself more and more throughout the back half of the year. If he is their primary runner, you saw a little bit of what they wanted to do with him, even with an effective Jerick McKinnon. The back half of the year, this was a running back on pace for over 230 carries, over 1,100 rushing yards, 8.5 touchdowns. And he looks the part to me. I mean, this is a very young, swift.
Yeah, fleet of foot.
I mean, he runs hard, and I think that, we have lived in the time period where Andy Reid had a Kareem Hunt. He had somebody he could lean on, and look, they're coming off a Super Bowl victory where Pacheco played a huge part. So I'm going to bring him up because I think he far surpassed draft value in the NFL level and the fantasy value. I think he's that guy. I think he's got the it factor.
He certainly has the speed, and I think he's a talented runner. The team loves him. You watch kind of the Super Bowl celebrations, and he's a big part of their plan moving forward. I'm not in love with his value in the sense that during the second half of the year, weeks 9 through 18, in those 10 games that he played, he was excellent. It was decent for fantasy football and really good as a runner, but he wasn't used in the receiving game. He would have been on pace for 20 targets, 18.
Because that was Jerick McKinnon. Exactly. But McKinnon's probably gone.
So the question here is whether or not he's ever going to be allowed the receiving role. If he receives it.
Oh man.
Then yeah, fantasy value will be there. I am skeptical that he'll step into the receiving back role.
Yeah, that'll be something to watch. I mean, Jerick McKinnon, I think, would love to come back to Kansas City.
Sure.
It's just whether that is a financial situation they can work out. Mike, I see a familiar name next to your name.
I'm going to go with Drake London. I am very excited for his future. I mean, it started off pretty rough, weeks 1 through 12, 36 yards per game, but then closed the season pretty hot. The final five games, he was looking at about 85 yards per game, and I think all of those, except for one, so four out of the five were Desmond Ridder, which we don't yet know what Atlanta's going to do. And like people's, you know, argument against Drake London could be, well, Desmond Ridder is set up to be the quarterback right now. They're talking him up. Yeah, he actually showed up. Drake London was able to produce once Desmond Ridder was on the field. There's not a huge pie to go around, but Drake London was gobbling up just like an incredible amount of market share. We're talking like, oh my goodness gracious.
29% or something?
36%.
Over the back half?
Yeah, over those five games, he was looking at a 36% target share. But he is, I believe, a tremendous player. And Marcus Mariota is out of the way. So to me, it's either Desmond Ridder or better for Drake London, which gives me some hope and excitement that we'll be a bit more consistent.
If you had to make the decision today, Mike, in a keeper league,
okay,
and you're keeping Drake London on your roster going into next year, or you're keeping Cortland Sutton on your roster going into next year.
Oh my gosh.
Who are you selecting in that situation?
Oh,
and yes, I'm smirking.
Wow.
It's a confidence test.
I think
maybe in both directions.
No, it certainly is. I mean, Cortland Sutton is Sean Payton. Like, can Sean Payton turn that version of Russell Wilson back into an NFL quarterback? I will probably take the upside of Drake London right there.
That's where I'd go. Just to chime in, it's an easy Drake London for me.
I don't think it's easy.
I said for me, and it was very easy. I am always going to err on the side of young, up-and-coming, hyper-athletic guy versus someone about to near the age cap at their position who hasn't been performing well. Cortland Sutton disappointed this past year, is getting a little older. I'm going to definitely go upside.
Everybody disappointed.
Everybody's getting older, especially Mike.
Yeah,
everybody
is
Drake London is getting older.
I will say this. I'm going to throw a little hope bomb out there.
Ooh.
That maybe the next...
That's a fun bomb.
Yeah, maybe the next generation of being potentially enthusiastic at the tight end position is on the precipice. Because I think that you have three very talented... So first, you've never really had the Kyle Pitts consistency, right? So Kyle Pitts still exists out there as a potential upside, right? He's 22. You have three talented tight ends from last year that I think should see their roles improve. Chigga Okonkwo in the back half of the year was great. Rookies don't really do it. He did it for a few games, and he's going to have that same opportunity you talked about with Burks. Trey McBride over the last few games showed what he was drafted for. Greg Dulcich flashed at times, and you talk about Sean Payton. And then you've got a couple of pretty good rookie tight ends coming into the draft this year
Kincaid and Myers.
Yeah. So I'm just saying there could be like six names that are not in your ordinary discussion. That's all I got.
Hopefully.
It's
a hope bomb. It's not a truth bomb. It's we're going to hope that tight ends finally do something.
Yeah, there's just a chance is what I'm saying. So
yeah, I'm trying to look at like studying tight ends.
Even Cole Kmet. Cole Kmet could take a more consistent step forward.
I do like Cole Kmet next year. I mean, we'll see if Justin Fields is actually their quarterback or not. But trying to find some indicator for tight ends that we may have missed. Which, I mean, people, this is a study. That is existed since time began, trying to figure out how do you get a breakout tight end. And I mean, so far the truth that I can at least glean is they do it pretty rapidly. Like you know, kind of right at the beginning of their career, if they are going to turn into something or not. It's not nearly as common to have the guys that take like the the Greg Olsen path, where I mean he was a high draft capital guy, but it took a few years and a new team for him to get going. While the other guys, you saw it in a certain points per game threshold right away.
Yeah, that I'm really a fan of what I saw of Chigga Okonkwo in the athleticism, because he put up numbers that would have been good over the course of a season on like sub 50% of snaps. So he seems like somebody like, you know, we were talking about Andrews a couple of years ago. Oh, what if he played more snaps, right?
Right.
But we'll see. I mean, there are some names out there that are going to be talented. We talked about it in the truth episodes, the involvement of the tight end position. I think it could be fun to watch. I'm going to choose to jump upon the hope bomb.
I love
let it explode on,
yeah,
on
sure.
me.
I love playing the game, the tight end game, but it doesn't often work out. Every once in a while,
it's a different kind of yeah.
Look, every once in a while you get Jordan Reed, you get Darren Waller, you get George Kittle. Like, it happens.
Russian roulette is thrilling. Yeah. It is a real thrilling right. game when you come out the other side.
There's no better feeling though.
Correct.
Than hitting yes. on the lowly drafted superstar tight end. It feels like you cheat coded your season.
Yeah.
But yeah, Kelsey in the first, anyone?
Yeah, oh, for sure.
All right, let's hop into, we got some news? We do.
News and notes from around the league.
Well, we got some surgery news, and then Jason mentioned it. Robert Woods was released. Taylor Lewan released.
They are making some moves.
Robert Woods tweeted, "Where should I go?" And then Cooper Kupp raised his hand. So a return to, I mean, it makes sense.
It does.
Brock Purdy was supposed to be having surgery this past Wednesday, but delayed due to inflammation and swelling. They're going to reconvene in early March. Obviously, the recovery is dependent on the surgery taking place. You know, this happens, right? This is why Kyler didn't get surgery immediately. You know, generally, you need swelling to go down, but the fact that it was expected to happen didn't happen. It's going to delay some of the recovery.
Get this man some ibuprofen.
That's all he
thanks,
needs.
Thanks.
Man, why didn't they think of that?
I'm not saying they haven't thought of it, but I'm just throwing it out there. The doctors may have overlooked the ibuprofen.
Maybe four pills.
Yeah.
Take it to the
extra
limit.
Strength.
I can see Mike walking in, giving that advice, turning around, walking back. My job here is done.
Just toss the bottle.
Yeah.
Take it from me. I'm 40.
He might do an Aikido roll out of the room. I'm out of here.
And McCole Hardman, he kept trying to play football over the back half of the year, and it just didn't come to fruition. Yeah. Underwent surgery for a core muscle injury, 8-week timeline to get back. And resume his normal role of making it more confusing to know which chief wide receiver you might be able to play.
Well,
that's the only role he plays.
I don't know if he's under contract.
Yeah, Hardman's a free agent.
Oh. Yeah, so he'll just do that for another team.
Yeah, now is the time. Now is the time to remember who's getting a new contract or not.
Okay, fine. I wonder where, have we seen enough of McCole Hardman?
To make a decision one way or the other?
You've seen enough.
Yeah, I mean,
he's not going to be a guy.
I think they're going to hope that Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney can fill the small void left by Hardman. They'll draft someone.
Well, Juju will be gone too.
That'll be the really interesting question, is whether they re-sign him or let him move on in free agency.
Is that it? We got any news, Brooksy? Anything else?
Nothing else.
Al, how are we doing today?
Doing well.
Yeah?
Yes, sir.
Having a nice day. All black again, I see.
It's weird, right?
Yeah.
I thought I'd switch it up today.
Such a different look. No, got back from the cruise and you just kept the same spirit.
It's what fits.
I have a self-correction. I said Myers for the rookie tight end.
It's Mayer.
Yeah. It's because it's Michael Mayer.
Oh.
It should be Michael Myers, of course.
Of course. So it's
for
like,
your convenience.
It's not my fault.
So it's Michael Myers plus John Mayer.
Right.
And we have...
Something really scary.
He slowly plays love ballads like as he walks up to you.
Yeah.
Terrifying. Yeah. I was looking for a body is a Wonderland joke.
Ooh.
But I'm going to just...
Body was a Wonderland.
Body parts are a Wonderland.
Welcome to the off-season edition of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Let's take a break, get into the mailbag.
Hola.
Hello, this call is being translated.
Abuela, listen to what my phone can do.
Abuela, escucha lo que mi teléfono puede hacer.
Wow, ahora dime sobre tu novia nueva.
Wow, now tell me about this new girlfriend.
Huh?
Tú sabes lo que dije.
You know what I said.
Language is no longer a barrier, thanks to Live Translate with Galaxy AI on Samsung Galaxy S24 Ultra. Learn more at Samsung.com. Samsung account login required. Calls must be made using the native Samsung dialer.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We got to get Al some bright colored clothing that fits him.
We just need to have a company uniform. that we require during production of our show for him to wear.
Can it be like?
It could be anything we want.
Like a hot dog uniform.
Oh, I was gonna go like when a kid dresses up as a sailor.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good one, too. We can really
Ahoy,
have
producers.
Like a uniform for each day of the week. And
that
whatever.
Does seem like us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's right. Almost like he's losing the Wheel of Shame. Except
I'm looking into it.
It's just his job.
It's called the Week of Shame, and it's every week working for us. Mike, you ready for a mailbag drop?
Yep.
Mailbag.
Mailbag. You better not lose that when you you celebrate this birthday.
I mean, once the clock ticks over, I mean, my voice could become a pumpkin.
Ibuprofen is what I recommend. That's what I recommend.
I've heard good things.
If you got a question for the show, we're here to answer them, and we'll have some mailbag episodes throughout the off season. Go to the website, thefantasyfootballers.com, click the submit a question button, or dial our voicemail hotline. 302-464-TFFB. No voicemails today, Brooksy?
No, sir.
Okay. Nothing that was up to snuff, huh?
The quality on a couple. People driving, and it's not going to go well on the podcast.
He doesn't take your voicemail unless it's on a SM7B.
Yeah.
He doesn't take no guff.
And preferably, like John Mayer, play a little guitar in the background. All right. Instagram question from Brandon Ismarin. Who do you want to see at Saints as the Saints quarterback?
I'll go with Derek Carr. I'd be super happy about that.
That just kind of the default answer for all the open jobs right now? Because
it's Derek Carr, I think, is more willing to go down the field than Jimmy Garoppolo. So we need someone who can get it done for our dear sweet, sweet Chris Olave. Like, we need targets down the field. Or
Jameis.
They just let Jameis Winston have his job back. Because that was working out just fine for the rest of us. I don't care about your Saints wins and losses.
That's not been discussed either.
Yeah, it would, I don't understand.
And he doesn't even care. That's Jameis' personality. He's like, yeah, man, talk to whoever you want. I'll be here.
I feel like Jameis should either go back to the Saints or even back to the Buccaneers. You know, it's like, oh, Brady's gone.
Oh.
You're allowed back. We didn't want to replace you, but it was the GOAT. And right. I think Jameis would get it. I would get it. It'd be like, yeah, that's Tom Brady.
He's still under contract. By the Saints.
Is he?
Yes.
I did not realize he was still under contract. So he should by default be the starter right now.
The weirdest part to me of Jameis starting the season, and I mean, it was a few games in, and I don't remember what week he had the back problem. It was very quick.
Very early.
For the season. But it seemed like he was playing better, making, more conservative decisions, not turning the ball over as much, and just playing decent and enough that let's see what happened. But remember, they gave him the contract before the year started that looked like he was easily going to be the starter for not just this year or for last year, but at least through this year. And then they're like, "What, man, Andy Dalton, we can't get him off the field.
Yeah.
He's burning it up."
I think the game logs tell a slightly different story.
Okay, what hit me?
Okay, so week one comes out, wins the game, zero turnovers, two touchdowns. Playing well.
Okay, that's okay.
Week two.
Was week two the back?
He played week two and week three, 100% of snaps. Okay, so he got through them and then was out the rest of the way. Three interceptions in week two in a loss. He got five interceptions in those two games.
Yeah, I'm just remembering week one.
Yeah, week one he was good. Jameis Winston played in week two and three.
Derek Carr did come out and say he's going to take his time in free agency, and it does seem like there are a lot of potential destinations for Derek Carr, including teams that haven't been brought up as much, like Carolina with Frank Reich.
Sure.
Could be a home for Derek Carr. Obviously, the Jets, the Saints. There are going to be opportunities for him, and he said he wants to do his due diligence.
I think Carolina is where he's going to land, but if I'm a franchise...
I think they win the division with him.
Sure. I mean, it's a very easy division to win. If I'm a franchise, like I know obviously the Jets, they want to go after Aaron Rodgers. They also want Derek Carr. They just want to replace. They've got such a good defense. They've got great weapons on offense. They need a quarterback who can come in here and do enough. And I think the quarterback they should go after wholeheartedly is Jimmy Garoppolo, because Jimmy Garoppolo is not going to cost what Derek Carr costs. He's not going to cost both financially and capital what Aaron Rodgers costs. You have a great team. Jimmy Garoppolo, we already know, can play on a great team around him and get to the Super Bowl. So to me, if I'm a Jets fan, that's the guy that I'm wanting, someone that is fully capable and doesn't break the bank.
But all right. For fantasy, what do you want?
Oh, yeah. Gosh, not Jimmy Garoppolo. That would okay. be ridiculous.
All right. We all want
Jameis Winston.
We want Jameis Winston.
I want those picks, baby. Keep slinging it.
It'd be great if all the Tampa wide receivers just brought him back. They didn't care about the picks. Didn't matter to them. They cared about the 5,000 passing yards.
Say, did you hear the 30-plus touchdown part?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Here is a question from Twitter. Michael Campbell, I want to get my redraft buds to start a dynasty league with me. How do I get them interested?
Ooh.
So far, I've mentioned it and haven't gotten many positive responses. Got some suggestions for you, Michael. One of them is, look, if your buddies, if you can't convince them, you can go hop on our Discord community, and we have a Foot Clan Leagues section where you can find people for your leagues.
Yeah, it's hard to convince, assuming your league is 12, it's hard to convince 11 people to make that transition for the first time.
Yeah, you don't want to convince people. You want to ask them and have enthusiasm, because a dead dynasty league manager is the worst thing you can have.
100%. You got to have commitment here. So if you've got three or four guys that want to do it and the rest of the league doesn't, that's a good core. Go over to Foot Clan Leagues and see if you can, grab more people to fill out your league. And if you can only find 10 total teams, do a 10-team league instead of finding two people who, they just go, okay, I'll take a team, but they're not going to be active. They're not going to participate. You're going to have two teams that just stink up the league.
The truth is Dynasty is super fun. It keeps you active all year long, and we love it. I mean, it's a great format. Brings people together at different times of the year, rookie drafts, all that stuff. So it's a super engaging, like, you can give them this clip. Like, it's an engaging, fun form of fantasy football.
It's more of... You feel more like an actual general manager of your team, where because it's you're usually like about 30 players on your roster. That's who you can have that person forever. You can, if you get a quarterback at your startup draft, you can have that player on your team forever until they retire. Like that. So I think that's the part that is appealing and more. It's not appealing for everybody, but it's just it's a deeper management experience where you're more concerned about like your pick equity of what are these rookie picks worth and that type of trading.
I mean, there's an element of it where, and I'm just comparing it to like playing basketball. A pickup game is like your redraft. You show up,
sure.
You play your game, you win or lose it, you go home. The dynasty is like playing in a league where you are building a history.
Yeah.
Kyle, you said you just made a dynasty trade last week.
Yeah, I got George Pickens, and he wasn't even on my radar, but it's just such a good feeling in the offseason, too.
Well, now we need to know what the trade was.
Yep, for sure. He made it after our show, too, when we were talking about Pickens.
Okay. I gave up Brandon Ayuk straight up for Pickens.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. But speaking of...
Wonder if you're going to be right or wrong.
That part of Dynasty, of making trades right now, another thing you can say to convince people to convert over, and you don't need to convert the league, add the league. start an additional league that's a dynasty league, and it's not too much work because they dynasty leagues and redraft leagues yin and yang together to make a perfect fantasy circle. Your off season when you're bored and you wish there was more football going on and something to do and something to care about, there is in dynasty. You can make trades and waiver wire pickups in the off season and care about rookies and do rookie drafts when fantasy isn't at its peak. And then when you're in season and you're like, you know, you've got a lot of management to do, you got waivers or, you know, to go through, you don't have that much work to do in a dynasty league. It's really mostly setting your roster, and then there might be like a waiver wire pickup per week that you might look at in those leagues.
I am potentially going to be depressed with your answer to this next question. Okay?
Okay. I hope to let you down.
Warren wants to know, Mike Evans or a second-round rookie pick in a dynasty league?
Mm. Oh, that's easily Mike Evans.
Easily Mike Evans.
Easily.
I
a
thought
second?
I thought I was maybe living some fantasy life here, thinking
no.
Mike Evans is still a commodity in a dynasty league.
Mike Evans is still a very good player for dynasty leagues. I mean, he got think in the dynasty window of three-ish years. I mean, Mike Evans will still be relevant in 3 years, I believe. And he's not worth a top half of a first round pick of the first round, but a second rounder.
So 105, you would trade Mike Evans
yes.
for?
I'd rather have the 105.
I would rather have one of those early picks to grab a rookie chance over Mike Evans because he's 29 and a half years old. But I agree, he's got at least two good years. And I do believe that there is a chance that either Chris Godwin or Mike Evans gets moved.
Sure.
If you're another franchise, and there's plenty of other franchises out there that really needs help at wide receiver, you're going to go to the Buccaneers and kick the tires and say, look, your window isn't right this second. You know, Mike Evans isn't going to help you win. Grab something for your team's future. Let us take him and give him a new contract and all that. So his situation is quarterback situation. You've got to do some projecting. Like, you know, I'm in some of these way too early best ball leagues. And you go, well, the quarterback situation is going to suck for Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. Probably, but if either one of them leaves, then both of their situations probably get far better.
Yeah, he'll be an interesting situation to watch. Both of those guys will be interesting to watch in 2023 with their situation.
Evans seems like he's essentially on the last year of his deal this year.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Get something for him.
At least he's the kind of player that can go somewhere even at 30-31, and maybe score 12 times.
Yes.
Like
Brandon Marshall.
Yeah, exactly. You can go someplace and be a big target and score a bunch. He clearly still has the ability to get downfield.
Oh, yeah, week 17, baby! Mike Evans, my hero!
Why is this question in here, Brooks? See, we've got something from the loser, Brian Ketron.
Oh.
Why isn't Brian Ketron featured on the show more?
Because he's a loser.
Yeah, what a loser. But this is a big shout-out for that loser,
yeah.
Brian Ketron.
I mean, he's featured in a way because we have a bunch of kind of like, you know, show drops on YouTube that he does, and some of them are okay.
Yeah, yeah. Like YouTube, did you like the guy in the wig?
Yeah, like the wig.
That's Brian.
Like, yeah, no, shout out to Ketron in reality after this past season.
Why are we doing this?
I don't know. No. Someone put. I feel like he got access to our show doc.
Looks like he pays for Twitter Blue.
And put this in. Oh, put him on blast.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you, Brooks. You put it there to body him. Yeah, he lives for that. All right, Instagram. We have Coach Cole Smith wants to know, who has a better fantasy season this year? Jonathan Taylor or Najee Harris?
I believe both have a better season than they had last year. Najee had a good season last year. This is not an anti-Najee take, but Jonathan Taylor should get back to form. Now, is he going to be the number one overall running back? Obviously, he has that ability, that talent. His situation is not perfect, but his talent is completely elite. If people are doubting him based on the Colts kind of going downhill and him being injured this last year, he's someone that I would be kicking the tires on to see if you can acquire. You know, it's one of those players where usually when you've got a superstar young, you know, the first draft pick and he's a running back, that is not acquirable. And so you can't trade enough for him. And now you might be able to find a manager in certain leagues that is worried. And I am not worried about Jonathan Taylor. His athleticism, his, you know, the prospect that he is and what he already showed on the NFL field, he got injured. Like, I'm not worried.
Yeah. And that you almost get in the same situation where the doubt around Christian McCaffrey last year. It's like the most recently injured superstar that hurt you the most is very difficult to not have some people come out and say, well, is it over? Because that's just human nature, I think. All right. Matthew in Tuscaloosa, appreciate the Dynasty Pass already being up and helping me out. How high do Stroud and Young, be CJ Stroud and Bryce Young, both quarterback prospects that should go
top five?
Yeah, top
at least one
two
of them
probably, will. But if some trades happen. How high do they move up in super flex rookie drafts, and where would they slot in compared to like Bijan Robinson?
They will probably be the 102 and 103 in all rookie drafts in super flex leagues. Every super flex league that I've seen ADP for pretty much still has Bijan as the 101, and then in some order, it's really depending on, because the NFL draft hasn't happened, it's depending upon where you think Stroud would go or where you think Young would land as to which one you prefer. But those two guys are usually the next two picks after Bijan and Superflex.
All right, Twitter question from Nick. Is it safe to assume Javonte Williams would be the Camaro role for Sean Payton, or is he actually closer to the Mark Ingram? I'm not sure it's healthy to break Javonte Williams up into role A or role B, I would say, because his physical skill set is not Alvin Kamara's. He can catch the football, but Kamara was like next level at catching the football. So do I think Javonte will be the majority back that has the most opportunity to succeed? Yes.
Yeah, if you look at Sean Payton, he uses the skills of his talents. That is part of why he's a great offensive coach. He doesn't have a Kamara role. He had a role for Alvin Kamara. If it's Deuce McAllister, he uses him like that. Chris Ivory was a banger. He used Chris Ivory.
Right.
You know, he's going to take the talents that Javonte has and get the most out of him.
Yeah, and he has a long history of that with Pierre Thomas and Reggie Bush.
There's no limit to the running backs are going to succeed. It's just in the way that is best for them.
And Chase Edmonds will be there next year, right? He's under contract.
They can cut him, which is probably the likely scenario.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I think they'll get the most out of Chase Edmonds by cutting
him. They can cut him for $0 dead cap.
Yeah.
So
see you later.
So he's just done, huh?
Yeah. He is gonna resign. There are a lot of new leagues. The XFL, the USFL.
Oh, stop.
So I don't think his football playing days are over.
Oh, man.
There are different ways to deal with burns, man. There are different
yes,
ways.
Yes, there are. And one of them is hatred. One of them is a real dark place in your heart.
Here's the one thing about Javonte Williams is that they're going to need... I would expect this team...
Forgot.
Yeah,
I forgot.
You forgot until now?
Oh, man. Yeah.
What'd you forget?
Dead to me.
Jason was very bullish.
Look, as an eighth round pick, I thought he was a good value.
Wrong-o.
I want to bring
as
up.
As did the Miami Dolphins, yes. To be fair.
But he was not a good value.
The Javonte Williams injury situation is going to define the way that the Broncos, you know, pursue depth at running back. Because this was an ACL, LCL, and more. And plus.
Oh, gosh.
So, you know, he's likely going to start camp on the PUP. We're going to need to follow it closely. And then when he's back, it's how much do you give him, right? That's going to be a part of it. Like, if you want to make the – Jason has talked about how he's bullish about Breece Hall.
Mm-hmm.
But part of that story is I think you've said it, and correct me if I'm wrong because I don't want to speak for you, but the way you looked at him last year where you said, okay, the back half of the year is going to be better. It seems like that's the tone you've taken this year where it's like, okay, he'll be back out there, but you're going to improve because you're coming off the injury. You're going to get stronger. You're going to get more opportunity in the second half.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, he'll be better in year two than he is in year one, but I do think he'll be successful in year one.
And so Williams is a player that they're going to need to have complementary pieces around him. Might not be Chase Edmonds or Latavius Murray, but you might have wished it was as a fantasy player, depending on who they bring in there. Because there will be some players out there that could come and contribute, and we know that Sean Payton has used multiple backs. So I feel like the Javonte Williams dynasty story is scarier to me than the Breece Hall dynasty story for sure.
Oh, for sure.
Even though Javonte is what, 22? Is he 22 years old? I don't think he's very old.
Javonte Williams.
I could be wrong.
I don't have his age.
Oh, 22. I see 22. Yeah, he's 22. So, and how old is Breece? 21?
He should be 22. He played 21 in his rookie season.
So, I mean, when you look at him, both coming off injury, both super talented, both have flashed at the NFL level, both have been seriously injured. So, but I would rather be on the Breece side. Yeah, he's 21.7. 0.7.
Very specific.
All right, Mike, what is Rashad White's dynasty value? Instagram question from Ryan.
that you don't have to answer what his value is?
He's one of those players I hate talking about, so I was so happy to hear him say, Mike, talk.
So he's fascinating because he was, you know, a day two pick. He should be the starting running back for this team. And, I mean, we were comping, you know, putting Derek Carr or Garoppolo to that team. I think that they will be aggressive going after one of these free agent quarterbacks. And we talk a lot about, you know, don't be fooled again by the bridge quarterback coming in and thinking that they're going to turn around fantasy value for a lot of players. But I think that Derek Carr can, like, he still will provide fantasy value to a team, and he'll keep the offense moving. And I think Leonard Fournette will be gone. So his value, I think, is more on your team than it is in trade right now, of taking the gamble and the risk that they drafted him up so high to be their future starting running back.
Is anybody in this current studio the Rashad White manager in our Dynasty League? Brooksy?
No, sir.
No, Al?
No, sir.
See, he is a dynasty buy for me, and that is on the basis of my eyeballs.
Sure.
I like what I saw from Rashad White. I think he is multifaceted. You have a team that probably will be more predicated on the running game than they were last year. I mean, have to be, right? Most attempts of all time. And you've got a head coach who's a defensive-minded guy. Like, the way that they're going to win games is probably not the way they were winning them with Brady. And so it does come down to, you know, watching the film. Did you like what you saw from Rashad White on film? And I did. So that would make him a dynasty buy to me. But I don't think everybody has that opinion. And that's why Mike said you might be able to go get him.
Yes. And I, like, if I had Rashad White right now, I'm not trying to trade him away. I'm more on the side of I'd be willing to trade for him because I think that value of the market doesn't match what he could be. But again,
yeah,
risky.
Certainly the upside is there. If the role becomes to run the ball more and Leonard Fournette is cut, all of a sudden Rashad White becomes very valuable, even if the team isn't great.
All right. We've got one more here. YouTube question from that guy.
Oh, that I know guy. Him.
That guy 66199.
Oh, that's a different one.
No, I know 66192.
Yeah. He's a nice guy.
That's the one I know. Yeah, great guy.
Is there a world where the fantasy footballers cover the USFL and XFL fantasy football content?
Sweet.
Yes.
Fancy Moses.
Kyle, what do you think? Do you want to take that over?
I'd rather die.
What do you mean Jason says yes?
Well, you'd have an opportunity to cover Chase Edmonds.
Yeah, I will next year, 2023. Well, he just says, is there a world where he could see us covering that? It would be while you're asleep in your dreams. You could dream of the greatness that is mediocre football and us covering it.
Don't Twitter. You think you're alienating the XFL base right now?
Maybe.
I watched
a couple of these games, yes.
Because Twitter was very excited.
I want the NFL to adopt a couple of the rules.
I would agree with you.
And especially the kickoff.
Honestly, it was...
What is the kickoff rule?
The kickoff rule is that the two... sides, the offense, the returning team and the kicking team, all of their players line up 10 yards apart at about the 30, and the ball is kicked and they can't move until the receiving player catches it. And at
that
moment,
they're already downfield.
But they're already downfield a long way, so it actually it mitigates all the injury risk. You still have a chance at a return. Of course, if you kick from the same spot in the NFL, 80% of them are going to be touchbacks anyways. But I did like the way that that played. Did you agree?
I liked that. I also liked the rule of the instead of onside kick, you get a 4th and 15.
I like that.
Watched A.J. McCarron.
That was awesome.
Bring his team back. He actually looked great at the end. I only saw the end of this game where he looked fantastic, but apparently they hadn't scored for three and a half quarters.
They were down 15-3, came down, scored.
Scored a three-point conversion. Yeah.
Then got the 4th and 15.
It was great.
That rule freaks me out. The 4th and 15 rule freaks me out because for whatever reason, when I hear that rule, I go to my team has done something that can win me the game, and now there's a cheat code to get them back. And somehow the onside kick feels like, you know, that feels like impossible. So my team has won it. Now, I know it will be exciting if it really existed. I'd be like on the edge of my seat. It would be fun. It would be.
I mean, I'm sure the numbers of picking up a 4th and 15 have to be extremely low.
And it's very dangerous because you don't pick it up. Obviously, you know.
Isn't that a little bit of like chicken and egg, though? Like, you don't pick up lots of 4th and 15s because
you don't go for them.
Because people don't have a lot of 4th and 15s. They don't plan for it. I just wonder what that would do.
So I'm curious.
And
your
Mike,
thoughts.
As an almost 40-year-old, you know, old school football.
Oh,
you're
never. No.
Run the ball.
That's not how my grandpappy played football.
What do you guys think about the going for three? Because that changes so
much. I wanted to ask, where does it stop? How far back can you go? Can I go for a 10-pointer?
You want a 4-point shot in the NBA? I mean,
every 10 yards, another point.
Stop drinking, people. Stop drinking.
Yeah, I don't know. Look, it's a lot of fun, but I like it to be casual and fun and not work.
You're saying enjoying those other leagues?
Yes.
Yeah, we do a lot of shows for the regular NFL. We would expire. We would just do it. We would miss.
If I had to watch every XFL game. No.
It's like the Avengers, you know, with the snap, and they just become dust. Like, that would happen to us on the show. And then what? And then what, people?
And then no NFL coverage.
Yeah, no NFL, XFL, or USFL.
You ask too much, that guy.
All right, that is going to do it for today's episode of the show. Big episodes coming up next week. We've got coaching changes. We've got the 10 Things to Remember episode. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. We'll talk to you then. Don't forget UltimateDraftKit.com.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter at the FFBallers.
Oh, hey, you're still here? Take a second and head over to jointhefoot.com and consider supporting our independent podcast. You get access to exclusive episodes every week, access to a thriving community of 30,000 plus like-minded fantasy football players, and access to special tools to help you win each week. Learn more at jointhefoot.com.